Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A text for today's message is taken from today's gospel, where Jesus was at table with them. He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? So far the text. Sometimes shortcuts are really dangerous things to take. When I was thinking of shortcuts today, you know, some kind of shortcut that we take in order to make our lives easier, I immediately thought of this episode of Everybody Loves Raymond, where it's just before Robert's wedding, and he's given one responsibility, and that is to put together the wedding invitations. That's all he has to do. And he's sitting at the table trying to get his brother Ray and his father to help him with this, when the two of them say to Robert, they go, you know, she really wants to do this. She just thinks you should do it. So what you really need to do is just mess it up and then send it to her, and she'll see what a disaster you made of the invitation, and then she'll do it, which is what she wants to do in the first place. It'll be a gift from you to her. Don't you love her? And he finally, you know, goes with that reasoning. And so they get this wedding invitation, and it was supposed to say something like, Mr. and Mrs. Henry and Patricia McDougall, seek the presence of your company at the wedding, whatever. So they start changing it. And the first thing they change is the names. They go from Mr. Henry and Patricia to Hank and Pat. And then Robert's like, well, maybe that end in the middle is too fancy, right? Let's just make it an N with apostrophes, like Hank and Pat. You know, shake and bake, pork and beans. And so they change that. And then they get to the next part, well, we request your presence, and they spell it like gifts. And then they give it to put the wrong date down, and at the end they say, instead of black tie optional, they say attire optional. And of course the problem is it's sent not just directly to his fiancée to look over, it's sent to everybody who's invited to the wedding. And it's a big disaster. And when she finds out, she says, yes, I had to stop reading it because someone was screaming, and it was me. And she just goes on to say, yeah, people are going to show up on a Wednesday at the church, naked, you know. And it was just a big disaster, all because you want to make his life easier? Do a shortcut. I've had bad experiences with shortcuts, especially on the Appalachian Trail. In the early 80s, I used to hike that a lot, and it wasn't marked nearly as well as it is today. And a lot of the trail would go onto private property, and so I took a shortcut, right? My shortcut was to get the cheapest topographical map I could get. And at one point, I ran into a dead end. The trail just stopped. So I looked at my map. Oh, well, here's a shortcut. Oh, this has cut 2 hours off my time. Of course, I ran into a river that I couldn't cross, and eventually, having found a way to ford it, I hit a ridge I didn't want to climb. Shortcuts do not help us. What's interesting in this text is we see these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and even though they're walking the long way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they still, in a sense, unbeknownst to them, and ironically, are taking a shortcut to Jesus. Now, a stranger approaches them as they're walking on the road, and it says they're kept from seeing him. Surely that's a divine sense, of course. They're being kept from seeing him. But there's a better reason we'll talk about later that they couldn't see him or didn't. But anyway, this stranger comes up to him and asks them a kind of a ridiculous question from their point of view and says, hey, what you guys talking about? And they're like, what, are you nuts? Where have you been the last couple days in Jerusalem? And think about everything that's happened in the last couple days, right? There's a trial. Jesus is crucified and killed along with two other people. During that time, there's this mysterious darkness over the land. There's an earthquake. The curtain in the temple is torn in two. People are rising from the dead, and now they have to deal with a missing body. And so they say, you can't. How could you have missed what's happening? And the stranger says to them, what things? And that would be the equivalent of us if we were in downtown New York City a day after the September 11th events, and you saw two people who looked sad talking to each other. You'd say, hey, what are you talking about, the Yankees? Okay, it wouldn't make any sense. So they go on, and they tell them exactly what's happened. And what's interesting is when you read those words, how they respond to the stranger, you see that they have two things. They have faith, and they have knowledge. Now, it's not very good, but they have it. It said we had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. that hope, that's the word for faith. There's some faith there, not a lot, but it's still kind of there, and they have knowledge, even though it's partial. They heard the message that the woman said, we saw an angel, and the angel said he's risen from the dead. So they have faith and knowledge, but not a lot else. And the stranger responds and calls them foolish. He calls them foolish because he says, you've been trying to take a shortcut, and you can't do that. And then he helps them get out of the shortcut with verse 27 here. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, I think it's really easy to miss the climax of this story, to think that the climax, and I've always seen it this way, as the point where Jesus breaks the bread and reveals himself to them and then disappears. But I really don't think that's the climax. Because in the text, they don't say their hearts were burning when Jesus revealed himself to them. It says their hearts were burning during that two-hour walk when Jesus was revealing himself to them in Holy Scripture. Now, I think it's very important that their eyes were open to see Jesus, physically to see Jesus. That's important. For one thing, it gave them a reason to rejoice. It certainly built up their faith a whole lot. It got them doing what they should be doing, which is running back to the disciples and sharing more good news with them, and they needed all they could get. And the fact that they were able to see physically Jesus means that they bear witness to Jesus' resurrection 2,000 years later at this very moment. That's all important. But there's something I think more important than just them seeing Jesus. What's more important for us is understanding that their faith, why it was created and built and strengthened, is the same way ours is. Before Jesus died, he said to his disciples that he didn't know when the end of the world's going to be. He says, even the Son doesn't know that, only the Father knows. And yet, even though Jesus doesn't know when the end of the world will be, yet I have a feeling before he died on a cross, Jesus had a pretty good inkling that the point from his ascension into heaven to his second coming was going to take a while. And as of now, it's taken about 2,000 years. He also knew during that time he's not going to be popping in and out every 10 seconds just to reassure everybody that he's risen from the dead. He's not going to do that. So what's left? His word and the Holy Spirit working through that word. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a group of people that are having a lot of trouble in a lot of areas. One problem is they're afraid of death. They're afraid of their own deaths, and they're terrified that their loved ones who have already died before Jesus returned are not going to be saved. And so in chapter 5, Paul reassures them, and he says to them, you have the promise of God that that will happen, that you will rise again too to a new life, even though your bodies are groaning for that right now. And he says, and your guarantee of that is the Holy Spirit. And then he says, because you don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. In Psalm 119, that's the biggest psalm. If you ever see the psalms, this one's like hundreds of verses. In that psalm, again, the psalmist says that God's word is sweet. It's like honey. He loves it. It does all these things. And then what does he say? Your word is a lamp unto my feet. That's what his word does. It's a lamp unto our feet. And that's what's so important about this. Important about this meeting that Jesus had. He opened their eyes. He helped them to see this. And what's vitally important is there will be times in our life where, like these two Emmaus disciples, everything falls apart and Jesus does not follow the plan that we would have him do. I would say in my lifetime, that's most of the time. He doesn't follow my plan. He follows something else. And during times like that, it's very easy for us to doubt and to lose our faith. It's easy for us to lose sight of Jesus. But here's the important thing, and the lesson, one of the lessons in this text, is that doesn't mean Jesus isn't there. They couldn't see him, but he was still by their side. He was still walking by their side. He was still loving them and caring for them. And he was still, again, sharing his word with them. And so that's how he reaches out to us with the good news that he is risen from the dead. What do we have left? We have Scripture and the Holy Spirit working through that Scripture. And during difficult, dark times in our life, that is not the time to neglect God's Word. That's the time where we should pour and bury ourselves into that Word. Because in the Word is the promise of the resurrection, in the Word is the truth of the resurrection, and through the Word, the Holy Spirit gives us faith to trust the resurrection. I thank God that just like with these Emmaus disciples, Jesus did reveal himself. And yet, like them, he has strengthened and given us a faith without having to see Jesus. To know that whether we think so or not, or believe so, or whether all the evidence in our life shows us the opposite, Jesus is in our life. That he is risen, and that his love for us will never end. In Jesus' name, amen.